Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Tulsa City Council is in the process of moving forward on a $919 million capital improvement project that would continue the Fix Our Street sales tax and property taxes for an additional 5 to 5.5 years to fund continued street construction, rehabilitation, and widening projects, along with a number of capital improvement projects. Currently, councilors are scheduling public meetings for citizen input with a vote by the council on whether to submit the proposal to voters, which will come in late August. The next meeting is tomorrow night at the Garnett Assembly of God at 29th and Garnett. My guest today is G.T. Bynum, city councilor for District 9, to talk about the proposed capital improvement project. Councilor Bynum, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Give us a sense of how this capital improvement project, this proposed capital improvement project, at this point is still proposed. It hadn't gone on the ballot officially, but I think you hope that it will. How did this come about? Why at this particular time, especially when you have a mayoral election, which, you know, you don't know the future direction of the city, the priority of the next administration.
Exactly. In 2008, November of 2008, the citizens approved a five-year capital program. It was called Fix Our Streets. It was $452 million and was supposed to last for 5 years. And it combined three taxes that we previously had in the city of Tulsa: the third penny sales tax, which has been around since Jim Inhofe was our mayor, the GO bond, which has been around even longer than that, and then it took over the four to fix the county sales tax, which is about 0.167 cents for every dollar that's purchased. And it picked those up. Those expired at different points over the five-year period of time. So it picked them up as they expired. Well, that ends in June of 2014. And so the city began the process really late last year in December of 2012, looking at putting something on the ballot this November. The council met with the mayor in December to start this process. We held a kind of a joint retreat to talk about what our different priorities were and to get a good handle on those. And then we heard from all the different departments about what their top priorities were for capital programs. And that's important. This is only for capital, not for, you know, this won't put more police officers on the street or firefighters, anything like that. This is to make sure that their cars work and that sort of thing. So we heard from all these different departments about what their needs were, and then went out and held a series of town hall meetings in every single council district hosted by the mayor and the councilor for that district to present these needs, which totals over $1 billion of high priority needs, and presented those and heard citizen feedback about what they felt were the top priorities. And we took that, the council took that feedback and what we heard from the departments, and really spent several months honing down a list of priorities. And basically between the end of those meetings, which were in March and April, all the way until about a month ago, we were working on honing this list down into a manageable amount. And that comes down to $919 million, and it's based on what we expect the continuation of what was previously the Fix Our Streets package, what it should generate over about 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. And that's where we came up with the $919 million.
Now, the first Fix Our Streets was about $400 million, but that was because you were picking up taxes as you went along as opposed to for the whole five-year period.
Exactly. Right? The only tax that ran the entire length of that period was the GO bond. Everything else, and that's the property tax side, the four to fix the county picked up part of the way through it. And then really the big revenue generator in it was what was previously the third penny sales tax. And that only went into the last 2 years of the Fix Our Streets program. All three of those, and that's why there's such a difference in the number, all three of those would run the whole 5.5 years of this one.
Yeah. Now, obviously, this is a big decision on what wins and what loses as far as the capital projects. But when you look at the list, it's still mostly a streets package.
Yes, we determined early on that we felt, both the mayor and the council felt, that continuing the progress that we've been making on improving our streets was the top priority for a variety of reasons, which we can discuss if you want to. We realized 5 years ago that we had over a $1 billion need to bring our streets up to a manageable level because they'd been allowed to deteriorate for too long. And There was a $1 billion proposal 5 years ago that would have run for over a decade, and the citizens in the town hall meetings which we conducted gave us really good feedback that that was too much money, committing it over too long a period of time. They wanted something shorter. So we said, okay, let's do a five-year program, $452 million, and let's show you that we can actually do it well, on time, on budget. And we've done that, but now there's a need to continue. And I'm very pleased because at the time there were a number of councilors who felt like the future city council, this current city council, would take their eye off the ball and say, okay, well, we spent money on streets and now they're fixed and now we can focus on other things. And this council and this mayor have not made that mistake. We realize there's still a long way to go and keep
I think anybody who drives the streets knows there's still a long way to go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, how much of the $900 million will go towards streets?
Well, the previous package funded street rehab and reconstruction, which is just taking an existing street with its existing lane miles and maybe tearing off the top layer or even tearing up the asphalt and the concrete and completely rebuilding it. Mm-hmm. Funded that at $415 million, and this one funds it at $470. This also, a big difference between this package and the prior one is that there is a significant amount of money, almost $100 million, a little over $90 million in it for street widening, which we heard loud and clear was that's the top need in South Tulsa. Their streets are in fairly good shape, but they have real congestion issues in South Tulsa.
There's a lot of streets with incredibly heavy traffic loads that are two lane.
Exactly. And so there's about $90 million in this for street widening, both in South Tulsa and on Riverside Drive. And that project won't so much be widening as it will be straightening Riverside Drive out there where the gathering place is being built to adapt that street for that overall park project. And then there's a significant amount of money in here for bridges as well, which is a continuing need that we face. So overall, about 72% of this package, 71-72%, goes towards transportation needs.
Mm-hmm. Now, of the street repair projects, how much will be rehabbing, new surface as opposed to completely rebuilding the streets?
I couldn't tell you that breakdown off the top of my head. And one of the reasons for that is that the streets department, the way they put this together, they go around and drive every mile of road in the city of Tulsa and rate it on a system that the Army Corps of Engineers developed for rating runways all around the world. They realized they needed a standard way of determining the condition of military runways around the world. And so it's called the Pavement Condition Index. Mm-hmm. And they rate each mile of road in the city of Tulsa on that index and then feed that information, the amount of time that the funding program will be going on and the amount of money that will be going into it, feed that all into a computer program. And that computer program then tells us, here are the streets that you need to fix. Here's the ones that need reconstruction. Here's the ones that need rehab. And this is the best return for your investment. So unlike, I spent 6 years working in the U.S. Senate where I was used to the politicians deciding all of that kind of stuff. And here it's entirely based on metrics and analytics. The counselors and the mayor, our direct involvement in picking projects is very minimal. Our job is to determine the top line dollar amount and then let the analytics determine which projects happen.
Well, can I ask you about some of the specific road widening projects?
Absolutely.
Because in South Tulsa, that's your district, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
What are some of the major intersections and mile-long stretches that will be widened?
Well, the big daddy of them all, and it's in Councilor Lakin's district, is 81st to 91st on Yale, where Yale goes over that hill. Mm-hmm. And that's about a $32 million project. And the reason for it is it's a very complicated project, widening a street that goes over that hill. And it rates as the number one widening project in the city of Tulsa for the reason that not only do you have congestion issues, but right now that existing road is sliding down that hill. So it needs to be reshored and stabilized anyway, even if we weren't going to do a widening project. So we felt we should do widening anyway while we're there. That's a big one. Another one is 81st Street between Sheridan and Memorial, which has heavy congestion. And then Yale between 96 and 101st leading up to the Creek Turnpike there is another area of heavy congestion. And then the fourth one, as I mentioned earlier, is Riverside Drive. Right now, you know, it's somewhat dangerous in that it dips and curves under where the pedestrian bridge is. And the Gathering Place, part of their project is they're going to go in and build what they call
berms,
earth bridges.
Yeah. Berms, yeah.
Yeah, so you'll be walking through this park, you'll feel like you're going over a hill. You'll never even see Riverside Drive underneath you, and all of a sudden you're there at the Arkansas River. Well, we could have put this project off and allowed them to build that bridge, and then we would have had to go back years later, tear that bridge out, do this work, and it would have been far more expensive. And so the idea here is not so much to extensively widen Riverside Drive, but just to straighten it and to bring it more in alignment with the project for that bridge that's there.
Well, given the timeline for the Gathering Place, that's probably the first thing you'll do.
Yes, that would be one of the top priorities. Yes.
Yeah. My guest today is G.T. Bynum. I'm a city councilor for District 9 as we talk about a City of Tulsa proposed capital improvement project of $919 million for streets and capital expenses for the City of Tulsa. Now, after you guys announced this in the beginning of July that you were going ahead with the idea of putting it on the ballot this fall, the county said, hey, we'd like that Ford to fix the county because we have certain needs there, including a very critical need of the Juvenile Justice Center, which is they've got people doing work out in the hallways there. Mm-hmm. Is there any way of coordinating with that? Or is that, it's kind of competing proposals at this particular time?
Well, the frustrating thing for us, those of us on the city council, is that we tried to coordinate it. One of the projects that's funded in here is $3.5 million for the levees along the Arkansas River, which is a project that no city department brought that forward. We knew that it was important to Tulsa County, and the council brought it up as an issue and brought in officials from the levee district to determine how much money we needed to put into this for maintenance and rehabilitation of those levees, which were built around World War II and haven't been updated since then.
Right.
And you have significant infrastructure, not and national security infrastructure related to those refineries there, let alone residential property.
So this would be on the west side of the city?
Yes, the west side of the city.
Yeah.
But along the Arkansas River there on both sides.
But it is City of Tulsa within the City of Tulsa.
It is. And that's how we really
decided to do
came along with being able to validate that it could be in a city program, a city sales tax program.
When you think of the north side of the river, I can remember seeing pictures in the late 1950s before the dam was built, and that was a huge flooding area.
Yes, yes. And so we felt that was definitely a priority, and the board that oversees the levee district requested $3.5 million, and we fully funded that. We invited Commissioner Keith, who's the current chair of the county commission, to come in and talk with us. She had mentioned to me several times over the last several years that they'd really like to get the .167 sent back. And so we invited her to come in and had it on the agenda twice, and no one ever showed up. So I hate that this has happened because it didn't need to. Everyone agrees that the juvenile justice facility is important. It was in the Vision 2 proposal that failed last year. And I think most of us assumed that, okay, well, that's something that when Vision ultimately does come up for renewal again, sometime over the next probably 3 to 4 years, that that would be included in there. But both Commissioner Keith and Sheriff Glantz, who as far as I know are the only two county officials supporting this effort, felt otherwise.
Yeah. Let's talk about another expenditure. There is expenditures towards a central library.
Yes.
That is also a city-county function.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, this is a really great opportunity for us. And I say that because as the council was going through this list, one of the things that we really tried to identify were what are projects that have other funding sources where we can leverage the citizens of Tulsa's money. And really the net results on this library project, you know, they want to go through and do a complete rehab of that facility. And if we put in $10 million, the library has been able to identify $15 million in other public funds that they can use, and those will then be matched by $25 million of privately raised philanthropic money. So for a $10 million amount in this program from the city of Tulsa, we get a $50 million library overhaul, which is a fantastic return. And I think that's one of the reasons I heard that from a number of my colleagues on the council. That's one of the reasons that it's funded at that level, because we know that it will be leveraged so well.
And it will be a retrofit or a renovation of the existing Central Library?
Yes.
Because at one point there was talk about a new Grand Central
Library.
Exactly.
But I think that discussion really occurred before you saw such revitalization in that part of downtown, both with the BOK Center opening up, with the Aloft Hotel and the Old City Hall building opening up, with the Mayo revitalizing. And so I think people realize that that location is a great one for the Central Library. And the building, you know, it's funny how architecture cycles kind of go along. That building for years and years, I think people thought of as kind of dumpy and
run
down.
No. It's a beautiful 50s building. It's a mid-century jewel.
Exactly. Now that style of architecture is extremely popular and thought of as fantastic. So the building is simply in need of some long overdue TLC, and this would provide that.
Now, that gets us to another issue. You mentioned the city-county issues and how that will be leveraged, but there's money, I think, for some of the golf courses, which now are privately managed. There's money for the Tulsa Zoo, again, privately managed. There's a little bit of money for the BOK and the Convention Center, again, privately managed.
Gilcrease.
And there's quite a bit of money for Gilcrease, which I mentioned.
Yes.
The University of Tulsa, the licensee of this station, mm-hmm. privately manages Gilcrease. And there's quite a bit of money for Gilcrease going in there, and that looks like roofs and major infrastructure. What is the responsibility of these private entities that are managing these and hopefully making a return on their investment versus the city in maintaining and keeping these facilities up to date?
Yeah, we looked at that on each of those in detail, and what we found were two things. One, the private management of those facilities allows them to operate them far more efficiently than the city was. It takes it out of the city employee issues and allows those different groups to operate them more efficiently. So that's probably one of the biggest returns, is simply on greater efficiency. The money that comes into those facilities is used more effectively. The other thing that we identified, though, were that each of these groups are doing significant, either in the case of Gilcrease or the zoo, they're doing significant outside fundraising for facility improvements. I mean, the amount of money that the University of Tulsa has raised privately for Gilcrease is phenomenal. Same thing just in a short period of time at the zoo by Tulsa Zoo Management, Inc. We felt that a lot of the time people aren't as inclined to give, to make a donation to a governmental entity. And we run into that with our park system all the time. But they are more inclined to donate to it if they believe it's being operated by a nonprofit group. And that's helped with the fundraising for both of those. But they're still owned by the citizens of Tulsa. And each of them have significant maintenance needs. And that was a common thread throughout all the projects in this. There are very few, I should say, new things in this. Politicians always love to say, I got this built. And I'm proud of my colleagues on the council for restraining ourselves and focusing on maintenance to such a degree, maintaining the things we already have.
Although at the zoo, you are adding two new exhibits.
But we are replacing outdated old ones.
Okay, gotcha.
So they're taking old exhibits that are run down and replacing them with new ones.
Okay.
So on each of those, we felt that the money being raised, and with the zoo, they've agreed that every dollar we put in will be matched by private money towards these facility improvements. And with Gilcrease, we felt that the University of Tulsa has already raised so much more money than we're talking about. I mean, it's about a 5-to-1 match on what we're talking about putting into this. We want to make sure that the city government is providing for basic maintenance and upkeep of the facilities, and that makes it easier for the philanthropic groups to then raise money to leverage off of that and take those facilities to a higher level.
Well, and you mentioned they're physical assets of the city, but they're also cultural assets to the city.
Absolutely. Now, we talked about Gilcrease and the zoo. With the BOK Center and other facilities like that, they requested significant amounts of money, but those were not funded because they derive money from ticket sales that they can use towards facility improvements. The best of my recollection, really the only things that we provided for in either of those facilities were that they have fire alarm issues, which we felt were a public safety matter that needed to be addressed immediately.
And the convention center has some heating and air conditioning improvements
yes.
as well.
Yes.
The Performing Arts Center, it's the same thing. It's basically fire alarms.
Yes, and the Performing Arts Center, their heating and air system there dates back to when it was built before I was born and hasn't been replaced since
I can't
then.
Say that.
and they also have, I guess they have some areas that are in need of fire alarms and sprinklers, and so this provides for those.
My guest today is G.T. Bynum, a city councilor for District 9, as we talk about a proposed capital improvement project for the city of Tulsa totaling $919 million. About 71% will go towards street rehab and repair and widening projects. The other about 28-29% will go towards capital improvements for the city. We've been talking about some. Parks and recreation, you know, I think I had somebody on not too long ago, and we said, you know, parks and recreation, that poor department is always the place where when we have a shortfall, that gets raided. And I
yes.
noticed that there's some nice capital improvements in parks and recreation. And I know part of it is about replacing pools with aquatic centers. What's exactly the park proposal?
We really tried to do two things with parks here, because I think everyone on the council recognizes exactly the phenomenon you're talking about, that parks has always kind of been left for last on the list. Whatever is left over, maybe we'll throw some money in that direction. In reality, though, those are places where little kids throughout our whole community go to play, and they have serious maintenance backlog needs for playground equipment. And so most of the money that's going towards parks in this is going toward rehabilitating playground equipment, upgrading it, and replacing it with equipment that should last for the next 20 years. We've had real problems over the last couple years on not being able to maintain that equipment and having it not be safe. And as a parent with a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old who play on city parks all the time, I feel that completely unacceptable, and I was proud of my colleagues on the council for feeling the same. The other big thing that we do with parks, though, is take our five of our pools that are all in need of overhaul, and instead of maintaining them as cold holes in the ground, actually turning them into destination locations within our city. This will create aquatic centers for each of our pools that have the, I think it's called zero entry pool, where, you know, it slopes all the way down so that mm-hmm. kids of all ages can safely play in the pool and enjoy it. And we're hopeful that this will attract more people to utilize our city parks. What we don't want to have are lousy pools that people don't want to use and people don't use as much, and yet still be paying for their maintenance and still be paying for lifeguards. Would rather just have good pools that a lot of people want to use and have an opportunity to.
And that's one of the biggest single areas of a capital improvement. It's $34 million for parks.
Yes, parks is one of the single largest areas, obviously, outside of transportation.
And river parks is a separate subcategory. And I know one of the proposals that there were a lot of proposals that didn't make the cut, but,
yes.
but one that did was the pedestrian bridge.
Yes, we really tried to focus the river parks money. And one of the things that we kept in mind going through this is there are all these needs out there. But in prioritizing them, what are the things that need to occur in the next five and a half years? In river parks, the most important thing that's going to be happening in river parks over the next five and a half years is the gathering place going in, which is a $200 to $300 million private gift to the citizens of Tulsa. And so what we tried to focus on here were those river parks improvements that would help accentuate and accommodate the gathering place. And one of those, which we already talked about, was Riverside Drive's alignment. The other one, though, is a pedestrian bridge. And what this would do is overhaul that bridge, which hasn't had any significant work done on it to that level in decades, overhaul it. But also, right now, the bridge, the way it's set up, you know, it's an old train bridge.
Right.
And what the city did when we turned it into a pedestrian bridge, we didn't build the walkway for pedestrians where the train tracks used to be. We built it below where the train tracks used to be. What this would do is put a walkway where the tracks used to be, what we would think of right now as on top of the bridge, make it a double-decker so that one level can be for bicycle traffic, one is for pedestrian traffic, because you've got four major trails all convening in this one at this one bridge. And we felt that would be a good way to accommodate, again, this massive gift that's being given to the citizens.
Fire and police also receive funding. You mentioned, again, it's capital improvements, and it's basically replacing worn-out equipment and their ongoing capital needs, but it's about $30 and $34
million. Yes, the big things with both of them, obviously, are simply vehicle replacement, which both the fire department and police department have needs in that area. But also, one of the common themes in this is building maintenance. We have fire stations all over town that firefighters live in that are in really poor shape that need to be rehabbed, roofs that need work, that sort of thing. And same thing with police departments throughout the city. So this would rehab fire stations and police departments. But then also, there's money in there for the self-contained breathing apparatus that firefighters wear to breathe when they go into fires. Right now, those expire after about 20 years. They run out of their certification, and ours are in year 19 right now.
Ooh.
So we're in a real pinch and a need to replace those so we can be certain that we're not sending firefighters into a burning building without the best equipment and equipment they need to survive.
There were lots of things on the list that didn't make the cut. I think low water dams, things like that.
Yes.
That were, you know, floated around. Another one is improvements for Air Force Plant Number 3, which, you know, that was a big focus of Vision 2. And I noticed that none of those projects made it on the list.
Yes. And that really came down to two things. One, we felt that there are other means for them to find improvements at that facility through rent and leases that they have with tenants of that facility. But just to be candid, the other concern that a number of us had, I won't speak for everybody, but I know a number of us had, was any confusion between this proposal and Vision 2. We didn't want anyone to think, okay, well, Vision 2 failed last year when the county did it, and so then now the city of Tulsa is taking another stab at it. And as that was one of the more prominent parts of Vision 2, we felt that it should be left. It shouldn't be in this package. We wanted no confusion. This is about core needed improvements to city facilities.
When's the final decision on when and whether this will go on the ballot?
We're going through right now a second round of town hall meetings, which we're holding five of them over a month in all corners of the city and in Midtown, to present this draft to people, get their feedback. And then the council is planning to vote on August 22nd on the final proposal that would then go on the ballot in November.
All right. G.T. Bynum, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Tulsa City Councilor G.T. Bynum of District 9 talking about the council's proposed capital improvement project offering $919 million of street widening, street repairs, and street improvements along with some capital improvement projects for the city of Tulsa. The council is currently seeking citizen input. The next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow night, July 30th, at the Garnett Assembly of God at 29th and South Garnett. The meeting will start at 6:15. And additional meetings will be held August 5th at OU Tulsa, August 6th at Rudisill Regional Library, and August 13th at Carbondale Assembly of God. More information on the meetings available at the City of Tulsa website, cityoftulsa.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.